Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. General at your service. Salute. There's Broadus. You have Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here. 75 Fitzhugh keeping the Gators down best he can. You have Woolchuck and Chia follow. You have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, Chief. Still not 100%, I can tell, but you're fighting through it well.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Your spirit.
Yeah, that was, you know, the pregame show on Sunday was, that was a scratch and claw kind of deal. It? And then, man, I just couldn't sleep at all Sunday night going into Monday. I was like, crap, I have to do the sorry, I can't make it text. That's one of my least favorite texts to send, you know?
Yeah.
And then you spend all day in a house with three kids while sick.
Yeah,
you and you're like, should I have sent that text?
Yeah.
Should I have just powered through?
Yeah.
Guys, I'm not on the show today, but I'm just going to sleep on the couch, if you don't mind. I just need to get out of my house.
There was a small part of me that was like, should I tell my wife I'm going to work and then just go crash at my parents' house all day?
There you go.
Yeah. But then it's like, if she flips that dial on, if she does the, hey, let's watch daddy on YouTube for a second, all of a sudden, cat's out of the bag.
I was just in the bathroom, honey.
Yeah.
Just bad timing.
It could really get away from you at that point. But, you know, I would maybe try to negotiate something with her. Like, can we tell the kids that I'm going to work?
Yeah. And then just go hide out in the closet.
Yeah, I'm going to mom and dad's. Okay. Still waiting to see, you know, the latest. It's amazing that nothing has really developed since last night with this story. Adam Schefter tweeting about 45 minutes ago, one day after the Bears sought permission from the Cowboys to interview Mike McCarthy. Dallas still has not responded to Chicago's request. You know, I don't know how I would feel about this if I'm Mike McCarthy, but personally, if my contract is approaching a conclusion and I don't hear anything from the employer about it, I'm starting to think that they're at least doing their best to negotiate and put some pressure on me and lean on me. You know, this has now become adversarial, I think, if I'm Mike McCarthy. It's okay if you want to let things play out and be like, oh, well, deadlines are going to make deals or whatever. This is not only, you know, my future, but the future of my entire coaching staff. There's like 25 people here involved with this. So I would feel a little disrespected right now if I was Mike McCarthy. How about you guys?
Absolutely. And you know what? I guess, you know, Bobby was talking about maybe it's tomorrow that they'll officially make a decision. I think like tomorrow is when he couldn't actually meet with the Bears. There's something going on. Bobby had a good explanation for it. I don't really know the reason why. But to me, it's just disrespectful in all ways. It's like, if you want me back here, you know. Like, you should know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you either want me or you don't. And if you don't, then all right, you are doing yourself a disservice by not now scheduling interviews for other coaches, because the Jets are interviewing everybody and your mom. The Jags are over here getting their thing figured out. Like, every team out there has already scheduled all their interview processes, it seems. So now you need to figure out, do I have a head coach? Do I not? And if I'm Mike and you mentioned the other guys that are in limbo here, the rest of the coaching staff, it's not fair to them. It's not fair to their families. It does get annoying Like, as, and we know this, and we just kind of say, like, eh, it's the Cowboys. This is how they do things.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's okay. Like, why are you the last to the party for freaking everything here?
I think the more money these guys get, the more difficult it becomes to relate to the common man. And now they've gotten to the point that even millionaire head coaches, they just, you know, they just have a hard time, I think, understanding the plight of regular people as time goes on and their billions and billions of dollars accumulate. And they're just like, well, you know, this is how I run my business. I just wait until the last possible second, make decisions on things. But there's norms and protocols set up around the league. Again, norms and protocols they don't care about because they have the epitome of FU money.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that Mike is, this is not bothering him. And I'll tell you why. He's already been disrespected. Yeah, you know, the guy, the three seasons in a row with 12 wins. Hell, if he was at Carolina, Atlanta, one of those other places, they'd have a damn statue in front of the stadium of him.
He'd have got an extension, that's for
sure.
He'd
got an extension. He's already been disrespected. You know, this is par for the course for him. He understands. You know, I mean, he could say, oh, it's a business and all that, but here it's really not a business. I mean, it's not the football business. It's not how traditionally teams operate, you know, with the way the front office is set up and all. It's just not. So, yeah, he's already been disrespected, and I think whatever happens, happens for him. And I think he's going to, you know, he honestly needs another team or two to come up and try and say, okay, we'd like to request permission to talk. I said that earlier. I think that the Joneses do understand. Now, they could come out and say, okay, we want nothing to do, and you can go interview, and it's over. Then you know it's over. But, you know, the fact that the Bears, and they haven't responded to the Bears, but this is the way the Joneses operate. They don't do anything with any real pace, and they don't do anything unless they're forced to do that. But he's already been disrespected.
Yeah, I definitely see that point. It's just a continuation of it. He's probably used to it now.
When Mike McCarthy came here, he didn't really know what he was getting into.
And it was shocking at first couple times.
But
this is years down the road.
Yeah, now
he probably just thinks it's funny.
He completely understands the situation he's in.
I do kind of feel like a front office that took the coaching staff more seriously would definitely want some resolution here. The only way this kind of makes sense is if they know they want to keep him and they're just negotiating to keep the number as low as possible, or if they already know that they're going to fire him and they know who they are going to go with. You know, and maybe that is the case. Maybe it's somebody, once again, just like with Mike McCarthy, that nobody else wants, you know. But I feel like an optimally run organization would want to get on the other side of it really quickly so they could have as much time to explore every option possible. Mm-hmm. And like the Bears are talking with 13 different candidates, or they've requested permission to talk with 13 different dudes. The Cowboys, Jerry and Steven, would never have the appetite to get through like more than four interviews before they'd be like, this is exhausting. Let's go back to doing what we want to.
Ryan Poles he could very well get fired after this year. He needs to get this right. Trent Baalke needs to get these things right. When you're into that mode of desperation, of trying to keep your job, you are going to go through every avenue you can. When you're in a situation where you're not going anywhere, you don't have to. You don't have to show desperation. You could just, hey, we got one or two guys in mind. If they don't work out, great, we'll do something else. You know this guy's probably going to get 5-10 years here. You know, they're not going to make a change. They're not going anywhere. But if you're a general manager that is on the hot seat, like what's going on with the Giants kept everything status quo, you know. But there's other teams, like I say, Jacksonville. Elliott Wolf's going to have some pressure in New England. He's kind of, you know, a new general manager there. They got rid of a guy after 1 year, you know. So, yeah, there you need to, when you're in that mode, you better interview everybody and figure this thing out because you're not going to get another chance.
Jerry always wants everybody to be in discomfort. He thinks it brings the best out of them. But he himself is always in the most comfort. He doesn't stretch himself. Like, he doesn't put himself in uncomfortable situations.
Not at all.
And he doesn't have to. And so he flexes that muscle in a huge way. Mm-hmm. I did find it interesting that Adam Schefter on Sunday morning was saying that Jerry was sort of in favor of bringing back McCarthy, but not everybody in the building was.
Hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, Mike has the most important trait right now, and that is, you know, the loyalty to Jerry Jones. And I think, you know, more than Jerry wanting to find a difference-making head coach, He wants to make sure he has a guy that's not going to stab him in his back or make him look bad publicly.
Right.
Like, once you're the head coach of the Cowboys and the players leak it out, like, things are different here, mm-hmm. and we wish Mike had a chance to come back and coach one more year but do everything his own way. That's as much as the players will really say. If you ever had a head coach who, you know, wanted to experience all of this and then bury Jerry Jones with a book and interviews, like, all of this stuff is possible that could eat away at the brand of, you know, Jerry Jones as an executive and all that. And I think the way that Jimmy talked about him after that divorce is one of the most painful things that Jerry ever went through as a sports owner, way worse than like missing the playoffs, was how Jimmy made him look like a fool that day at the, what was that, the owners meetings?
Yeah,
that evening.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then in the years and decades that followed, I mean, it wasn't until very, very recently that they actually let that sleeping dog lie. Okay. Zeke joining the Chargers.
How about that? We talked about that, a couple of teams, right?
Yeah.
Did we say the Chargers, Detroit were a couple of teams that, you know, potentially could look at running back? I know Chief was talking about that as a
yeah, because the news broke in real time on our show, and so we were trying to piece together, okay, if he's requesting to be released here, he must know that there's a team out there. And then he cleared waivers and was like, oh, wow, maybe they misread this thing.
Yeah.
But maybe they knew the entire time that it was only a matter of time.
Harbaugh probably likes, you know, tough football players. Do they need a running back? Do they need somebody?
Yeah, I mean, they've been thin all year.
Yeah, it's been a struggle for them.
He'll be on the practice squad. Like, it's possible he doesn't even play it down for the Chargers. But it is fun. Like, the Michigan man, the Ohio State Buckeye, and then him and Bosa are now reunited there with the Chargers.
Yeah. Dobbins being a Buckeye.
Yep.
It's definitely some fun to be had there. Okay, the Rangers event that we had scheduled for Thursday night there with Marcus Semien and Cody Bradford and the Rangers Winter Caravan presented by Coca-Cola with free Whataburger that was going to start Thursday. With the snow coming in, they've decided to pivot and reschedule that for next Monday. So you'll still get you know, Ranger Hot Stove 7 to 8, and there'll be free autographs and all that. But that's tough. You know, that it appears that we could be in for quite a snow accumulation there on Thursday.
Snow better than ice.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Given the choice of trying to get around, snow's always better than ice.
It doesn't feel like we very often get like a real good snow here. It's usually that icy stuff.
That wintery mix.
Yeah, it just kind of forms and kills everything and makes the roads slick as hell. You can't even form a proper snowball with it.
No, hell.
You know, forget about building a snowman or a snow fort. You know, and then it brings down the power lines. That's my one thing with the cold. I love the snow. I love getting out there and playing in it. You know, whether you're in a truck or an ATV or something like that, just keep the power on. That dealy back there like 4 or 5 years ago, where it's like 25 degrees at night and you don't have power.
Yeah,
you know, that'll bring a whole new level of cold to your to your bones. Okay, what else do we have going on here, G-Bag Nation? Of course, the Mavs last night, they were in control in the first half. They were up 10 after the first quarter, up 12 in the second quarter. Najee Marshall in the starting lineup, no real point guard, just some guys with point guard skills, which, you know, I thought that maybe that would have a chance, but they just couldn't sustain it. And then you get into the fourth quarter and crunch time, and that's really where the defense ratchets up, and you need an elite playmaker, and the Mavs didn't have one of them. So they end up losing to Memphis, and they get set to host the Lakers tonight. And Daniel Gafford now sprained ankle, lost him in the first half. We're going to have to see how bad that is, but it looks like maybe a week, a couple of games there without Daniel Gafford there. I thought, you know, your best opportunity is for Gafford and Lively to dominate the paint, play great defense, get in transition, maybe block some shots. But now, for at least half the game, you're looking at going small or pushing Lively into extended minutes, which makes me nervous for a whole nother set of reasons. Well, Chuck, it just feels like the basketball sky is falling.
It does. The injuries are really, I mean, it's kind of feeling similar to what we saw with our Rangers. It's like, what the heck, man? This team just can't get healthy. I did see Wendy was reporting that no team's been more active than the Mavericks in terms of phone calls this trade season. So that, I mean, maybe they inject some life with the trade here sooner than we thought.
Nico staying true to himself, which is always a man working the phones and never being satisfied with where his team's at. So that's certainly encouraging. But yeah, it's a huge bummer right now with the way these injuries are. And you're giving up 120 points to the Grizzlies when they don't have Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and others. Like, I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. went off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a bummer. It's a bummer, and you just hope they can keep things afloat long enough for the reinforcements to return, and you make a late season run. But that's asking a lot.
Did Wendy say anything as far as what they'd be looking for? I mean, like a veteran point guard makes a lot of sense right now if you can get a guy with some scoring.
Yeah, I think they've been looking for a wing defender, but I think you got to kind of change, and especially, I mean, they know more of the timeline with Luka than we do. It doesn't sound like it's going to be anytime soon, so maybe they are looking for more of a playmaking guard than they were before.
Just get to the playoffs healthy, I think, has to be the ask, but when you've lost so many consecutive games and you look at the schedule, you do have to wonder how many games will they be back when Luka returns possibly after the All-Star break. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni says he's not worried about Jalen Hurts showing signs of rust should he clear concussion protocol and play in Sunday's wild card playoff game against the Green Bay Packers. Had a concussion December 22nd, sat out the team's final two games of the regular season, remains in the protocol, but is progressing. Yeah, I wouldn't be worried about rust right now as much as I would just be worried about, is he going to clear protocol? Are you guys hearing anything about this? I mean, talk about a nightmare situation. That's one of those long, long concussions here that you just never know when those are going to clear up.
Yeah, no, I mean, from everything I've seen, it's just up in the air, and Sirianni just keeps trying to avoid it and saying he's progressing through the protocol, that kind of stuff. But, man, that would be what a nightmare disaster that would be for the Eagles here. Going into a playoff game without your starting quarterback, I would have to imagine by the time, because it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, this would like, be the third game.
Yeah, you don't see that a ton where these dudes are missing, and it's I don't recall him having a bunch of different concussion issues throughout his career where he's just super susceptible and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I would still expect him to play, but the closer you get to kickoff, man, if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm freaking out.
They're ready to build a statue for Tanner McKee. They're like loving their Tanner McKee over there in Filthy right now. They were cheering hard for him during the game. They're ready for another backup to take him on a Super Bowl run. I can't wait for them to be one and done like we were last year. Packers go into Filthy, just beat the crap out of them. This year, I mean, it's not going to be Aaron Jones running all over them, but somebody else will go ahead and
Josh Jacobs
them.
Will do it to you.
Okay, Rangers make another signing, the 6'8 righty reliever Arlington.
Bring
Chris Martin, he has returned for the first time in 5 years. Will be rocking a Rangers uniform. Very solid, good professional reliever. I mean, last year his ERA was up in the mid-3s over 44 innings, but had a great strikeout ratio and had an elite walk rate. So this is a really, I mean, in 2023 he was incredible. So who knows, maybe he can recapture some of that form. But I think this is a real solid piece to have in your bullpen. Am I right, Woolchuck?
I was excited. I mean, I was always a Chris Martin fan when he was here for 2 years. And now you've got a setup guy in the eighth. So now all you need to do is bring back Kirby Yates. Now you've got your closer. I know who's handling the 8-9 roles for my Rangers.
Right on.
And how about Robert Murray saying that Martin turned down a lot more money elsewhere to play for the Rangers?
Oh, yeah.
Now, of course, being the hometown team and stuff, that probably has something to do with it. But also, just the type of environment that the Rangers have right now, they're getting guys on discounts. That's beautiful.
Cannot wait to get out there to spring training here. What are we, 6 or 7 weeks away on your home of the 2023 World Series champions? Have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. Who are the Cowboys' free agents that they could possibly bring back? We'll take a look at the pending departures coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The fan. We're 8 minutes now from the G-Bag of the Day. Best audio from the world of sports. If you ever miss the G-Bag of the Day, Lucius replays it for you every night in LA Live about 5:40. This segment of The Nation, we'll take a look at Cowboys free agents. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. My question for you, are there actually so many quality free agents on this football team that we should be concerned that the Cowboys are actually going to be significantly worse? You know, yesterday I was, or maybe this is Friday, I was agreeing with the Micah Parsons thought that, yeah, you know, it's the way that we finish this season, you run this thing back, you get us our players healthy, and we'll be contending for a playoff spot next year. I'm not so sure after looking at this list of free agents. Segment's also brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. I'd love to hear from you on the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line. I mean, there's quite a few players on this list. Salute to Blog and the boys for putting this together. Zach Martin, DeMarcus Lawrence, Brandon Cooks, you know, Trey Lance, whatever. Eric Kendricks, Jordan Lewis, Linval Joseph, Cooper Rush. I mean, that matters. If you're without your starting quarterback for six games, I think Cooper Rush is going to win two or three of those. A lot of other quarterbacks would win zero or one. I feel like Cooper Rush, pretty dang good backup QB. Are they going to keep him? I don't know. Osa, Rico. And what if Rico's gets an offer at $5 or $6 million? I would not expect the Cowboys to match that kind of an offer. Chauncey Golston, you know, you start to get down here, but Carl Lawson made an impact.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Brock Hoffman isn't a kind of a free agent. But what do you think about the premise of that question? Are there so many players on this list before we start looking at individual situations and who could be back that maybe the Cowboys are going to take another step back like they did from 2023 to 2024?
It's very possible. I mean, last year, what did Zach Moss got? 2 years, $8 million, $4 million per. They said that was too expensive. So if a team goes and says, hey, Rico, we'll give you $5 million, the Cowboys are saying it's even worse this year than last year. I don't know how they could afford Rico Dowdle. I mean, somebody on Twitter hit me up and was like, does this feel as though it's like the 2011 to 2013 run?
Sure.
Under Romo.
Sure.
Where you're kind of just treading water, but like Romo and the offense was so good that you kind of, you were in the conversation. Last game of the year, division was bad. You have a chance to win the division, and they lost all three of those times, but you're basically an 8-8 football team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And looking at kind of where they're at financially, yeah, it does. You know, unless they're able to really, really crush a draft class, which is kind of all the pressure that they're putting on themselves to do. I don't see how they're really going to be able to improve their roster, which was not good enough. Like, we're talking about retaining guys that you still weren't good enough this year. Can you even keep those guys? So how do you expect to really move up, take another step to improve your chance of contention? The answer to me would probably be unlikely. It's very, very unlikely. Unless you just get elite quarterback play and Dak Prescott comes back and can be an MVP-level player, which I think there's question marks about that based on what we saw prior to the injury.
Yeah, they're going to lose too many players. This thing's going to step back is what's going to happen. I'll be interested to see what they tender Turpin, and I'll be interested to see if they do enough where somebody doesn't come after him.
Hmm.
He could be a really neat little piece for somebody that wants a big-time punt kickoff return guy, but also he proved that he could play offensive snaps for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hand him the ball, put him in the backfield, throw him the ball. You know, yeah.
Love to see what Andy Reid and those guys could do. With him.
Sure,
yeah,
a little bit shorter guy, but yeah,
plenty of OCs probably feel like they could get a heck of a lot more out of Turpin.
This will be the second, and I'm not going to call it a purge because they're not. I mean, they just a lot of these guys they won't be able to afford. You know, say what you want too. There's a chance, you know, with their Brian Anger, their punter's on this list too. You know, and he's been a pretty consistent guy throughout. He holds for Aubrey, who makes all the field goals. I mean, you know, those are things you kind of have to think about going forward.
Okay, 903 asks, is this going to be keeping our old yeller room? I know Spittle won't let y'all, but y'all need to bring back the sound effects. Tolo, yeah, I just don't think it's the same, you know, without the sound effects.
Yeah.
I thought here in the great state of Texas, maybe we were tough enough. We hadn't gone full snowflake, and we could have just a little bit of a imagination. You know, I know we like our war movies. Well, some of my favorite stuff, war movies, there's dramatic reenactments of humans dying. We're fine with that.
Right.
But boy, you get a dog out there, maybe, you know, a sound of a shotgun getting racked and blasted, and the next thing you know, you got lawyers breathing down your neck.
Yeah.
I can't believe
thought this was America.
Hundreds and hundreds of emails, phone calls, late nights. I mean, goodness gracious, the amount of people that can't handle a fake dog shot.
Yeah, I mean, just tremendous amounts of volume there and the complaints. And we, you know, we do what you want. This is your radio station. You know, you if that's the standard you want us to hold, then we're more than willing to go along with that, Brian. What are
absolutely
you laughing at?
I'm just,
you know, just trying to get the people what they want.
You are a man of the people.
They definitely don't want people celebrating the injuries of our rivals.
That is true. No, they don't know. No. They want nothing.
You know,
no,
so we're all really torn up on the Jalen Hurts situation and hoping the best, especially concussion, man. That's no joke.
Yeah,
especially with one that's gone on for a couple of weeks now. Okay, 682 says too many California people came to Texas. Maybe that is, you know, they are dog lovers. They'll have them right out there at the restaurant with you quite a bit. And I know we do in Texas as well. We're dog lovers as well. But You know, that's a good theory, good as any, if you ask me. Okay, individual, Zach Martin, you know, I don't know if he's going to continue to play. Tank, you know, is that one that you want back?
I don't think Tank's coming back.
You don't think so?
No.
Even if it's super team friendly, I think if they say it's worse than last year, and that was like Tyron Smith, $10 million, running back, $4 million, can't do any of that. So I think once you're over about $4 million for any player, maybe even the number is lower, we just have to assume probably not coming back. Yeah. I don't want Brandon Cooks back. I mean, he seems like a really cool guy, and it's been great to have interviews with him and stuff, but I just think it's time to turn the page there. He's given you like a touchdown a month where maybe one of the young guys wouldn't have, but I think, you know, they need to make an investment at the very least in round three and start to get somebody in here with some talent. Eric Kendricks, you know, that situation is interesting now without Overshown. Maybe you get through the draft, and if he's still out there, you want him back.
Yeah, maybe it, without Mike Zimmer, too, might be something that he makes that decision that he wants to go on and try something else.
No doubt.
Of course, you got the Jordan Lewis situation, and I don't know. It might be in your best interest to draft a young guy and move on. Like, Jordan Lewis has had a great career. He might have just played his best football he's ever played for you, but at this age, you know, it's probably...
Well, people also talk about the foot injury, too. But,
yeah.
But, man, he's played through the elbow, the foot. You know, he's the one guy in a bad season when you start to look at players that... From week 1 to week 17 or week 18, he was very consistent the way he played throughout.
Every week you could count on him.
Yep.
I mean, last year this time I said, no, bye-bye for all the reasons you stated. I'm trying to get Jordan Lewis back on this football team. I think he also gives you some leadership in the locker room.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Accountability.
I just wonder how tight this budget is going to be. Obviously, losing Osa is a big deal. I don't know the last time they had a defensive tackle that good in there. And then I think Rico walks, and we'll just have to see if they can draft a guy on day three or maybe day one, you know, that can do better than what Rico's 4.6 in attempt got you in the 2024 season. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G-Bag of the day.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Terrific, you?
Sure. Yeah, doing good. On a whole other day, you know, just chasing the noses away.
Yeah.
Chasing the clowns. When I say noses, I mean the clowns. Chasing the noses away, brother. All right, day two right here. Mr. Chiafalo, you missed this one. It's a church clip that won yesterday.
Nice.
We got a choir that sung Silent Night in the key of U flat. You are flat right here. Well, one of them was a soprano, and he took the lead like Rudolph.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm. Round your virgin, mother and child.
Yeah.
Oh, holy infant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Tender and mild. Sleep.
All right. It keeps going, bro. It goes for a minute, man.
They kept like, that thing going, huh?
Yeah, they did, man. A salute to them.
That's tough, too, because, I mean, that's a Christmas Eve song.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
I mean, that you're going all in. Christmas is, I mean, it's Christmas and Easter, man.
It must have been on the schedule. They, like, had to do it. Like, yo, we've got to sing Silent Night, though.
This is our only guy.
We're missing our Rudolph. Who's next?
You got it, man.
Yeah.
Take one for the team.
Oh, man.
Might have been a bad payoff.
You don't get to redemption on that until next Christmas,
nah,
man.
Over,
bad taste in your mouth all year.
The choir said, round young virgins. Oh, all right. St. John's basketball coach, head coach Rick Pitino.
Yes.
Rick.
He's going through it with these new kids. They're stressing them out. Now, he had a New Year's Eve resolution that he did not want to drink anymore. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he's been drinking so much, he said, I got to stop, man. I got to chill out. But the coach and the kids is wearing them out a little bit. I think the final straw was they had the game wrapped up. And all you're supposed to do is, you know, dribble out the clock. Mm-hmm. One of his kids went over there and did a tomahawk dunk with, like, just a point second left on the thing. Oh, wow.
That's a pint of whiskey
little
right there.
Exclamation point.
And
You know, the young people today are different. I'm struggling with it. Now, I'm not quitting like some coaches, but I really am struggling right now with a lot of things. Listening. The work ethic's great. The listening is really bothering me. So many things are bothering me right now that I gave up drinking for New Year's, but I think I'm going to have the shortest resolution in the history of mankind. And I'm going to jump right back in.
Yeah.
Coaching this team will age me about 20 years with the listening part. So, but I'm very pleased with the win.
But I'm very pleased.
don't ignore
that.
I'm
jumping right back
very
in.
Very pleased. But where's my bottle?
I'm jumping right back in, bro.
Man, that's good for me. I love hearing that even elite coaches with top-end talent, they look at their players and they're like, nobody's freaking listening to me right now.
Yeah.
And then you start the drill and like 90% of the kids are like, so what are the rules of the drill?
I said touch the cone, come back to the baseline, lay up. What do you...
Thank you, Lucius.
Yeah.
I might go back to drinking after last night, to be honest with you.
It was bad. They weren't listening.
No, they were actually pretty good there.
Have Coach's Gatorade bottle real quick. What flavor Gatorade is that, Coach?
Yeah.
It smells like mouthwash.
Yeah. No, I said nobody touched that.
Nobody touched that.
That's one. It's my special water.
Yeah. Let's go to Philly. Fox 26 morning show. It's Good Day Philadelphia. Host Alex Holly. We've played her before. She's worried about falling on all the ice that is hitting America right now, all the ice and snow. She doesn't want to hurt a bum. Mm. Well, the co-host, Mike Jarek, said you got enough padding back there.
Ooh.
Yeah, you got enough padding on some Skip Bayless type vibes.
My queen, I thought we were talking about the minimum. Not ideal.
Oh, no need to apologize. Listen, I'm just worried about my bum, you know, going down there if you hit the stairs. That's all I was saying.
Well, you got,
listen, anybody can go on there. There's no need for apologies here.
Padding.
What?
Which is a good thing.
I mean, you know, since I came to Philly, I've been eating good. And it decides to all go in one area. And that's fine. I'm not ashamed.
Looks good.
Yes, you know.
It looks good.
It helps me out when I have to sit next to you for 6 hours.
The softer the cushion, the better the sledding.
Whoa.
That's what that old phrase was.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's a great job.
Now, my man said, first of all, it looks good back there. Yeah. He said that twice. He's shooting this shot from the parking lot.
Yeah, he was. He did not care.
Hold on, I got to get that very end right there. We can't step on that man because he was dropping bars on him.
I'm not ashamed.
Looks good.
Yes, you know. It helps me out when I have to sit next to you for 6 hours.
The softer the cushion, the better the sledding.
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh, it was close. It was close.
Oh. The cushion.
Close.
He's sitting right next to her.
Wow.
Skip Bayless is pointing and snapping at the TV right now. Ooh. What? And I'm getting in trouble for what? I'm getting in trouble for what? He says she got the padding back there and the pushing for the tushing and all the other crazy stuff.
He did, man. He's
hiding in plain sight.
He was on a roll, kind of.
He said that. And if he looked her up, he's not wrong.
No?
Nah, he's in his bag right now, bro.
Yeah. I could see why he'd be shooting his shot there.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He's telling the truth to us. All right, last one.
Uh-huh.
Brian Scalabrine, Celtics pregame show, Boston Celtics pregame show. Scalabrine was told by Coach Mazzulla that you don't have 5 minutes left in you, bro, to get out here in this NBA court anymore. You don't have it. Yeah, Scalabrine was like, well, I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm not lasting 5 minutes,
yeah,
but I'm getting closer.
You shouldn't tell people that.
You shouldn't tell people that is what he told him. You shouldn't tell people that. Coach Mazzulla has such a dry way of just dropping a joke at you.
Yeah,
there's no
good
emotion or nothing. He just looks at you and just straight face gives you a joke. You don't know if it's a joke or the truth yet.
Yeah, he just deadpanned that whole time. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I love it.
The real deal right there is at Brian Scalabrine with Coach Mazzulla on the Celtics pregame show. Is it the host Alex Holly there on Good Day Philly? Is it the St. John's basketball coach Rick Pitino back to drinking after these kids aren't listening? Or a silent night solo act there at the church? I could go with Holly. I'll go with Rick Pitino, Chief.
I'll put me down for Holly.
Lucius?
Judge, preach, tabernacle.
We're tied at one, Will Chuck.
Oh, man. I think I'll go with the champ as well.
Brian?
Rick Pitino.
We're tied at two. Jump on to @GBagNation's Twitter account. Follow us all when you get there. All of our handles are in the bio. Okay, let me bring that up real quick. I'll create an Insta poll. We'll vote during the break, announce the winner on the other side,
And then what are we doing, Chief? We've got a little sports hodgepodge. We'll get to a couple of things, including the Fox lawsuit, and that's big cans and peanut butter skin.
Thank you very much, Lucius. NFL News Today is coming up at 3 o'clock. Time now for a sports hodgepodge. Here's the Chief.
We'll get more into it in NFL News of the Day, I would imagine, but we got the breaking news that the Raiders have officially fired Antonio Pierce and add them to the list of head coach vacancies right now. We'll see how that all unfolds, but man, I wonder what all went into that decision there in terms of you didn't do it yesterday. Pretty sure Schefter had Pierce being safe on his countdown show on Sunday. Wonder what's changed.
Well, they let him do the final postseason press conference. You know, he sat up there and did that. And you kind of felt like that maybe that's going to be safe. Do you wonder if Tom Brady's influencing? Is this the fact that maybe Gerard Mayo being available? That maybe that Brady's thinking about, okay, well, here's an opportunity. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just trying to connect some dots here. But or do you need an offensive coach there?
Just be a weird one. Go from Pierce, who was one and done, to now I'm going to go to Gerard Mayo, who was just one and done in New England. I mean, Vrabel, maybe. It feels like everybody wants
maybe
Vrabel.
Maybe is Vrabel. You know, I just
but you did. Could be. It could be like Brady just maybe. Maybe he didn't have some influence with this one.
Yeah.
Well, I think from what I understand, Brady's going to have quite the say in all that gets done there. Who they're drafting, who's their next quarterback, and of course their head coach as well. But I do think it's interesting that they waited till now to do it. But, hey, the Cowboys wait longer than that. So, I mean, who's to say? Now, let's go ahead. I mean, this was crazy yesterday. I don't know how much you guys discussed it, but the Fox lawsuit situation with Skip and
just a little bit, man.
Company.
Just a little bit.
What a bombshell this is, dude.
Seems so messy.
Oh, super messy. And you never really know exactly what is fully 100% true and what is not. So we will wait for further judgment on some of this stuff. But it is definitely a wild deal. Now, I think Skip is the one that has the most to lose in this situation. I think the lawsuit is really targeting him and the Fox executive, who is the head of content, and he's hooking up with the female talent such as Joy Taylor, and that is what's giving Joy Taylor her on-air prominence. So that guy probably has a lot coming for him as well.
So who's filed the suit, and who's the suit against?
The suit is against Fox. It's called Faraji versus Fox because Faraji is the lady who was the hairstylist there, who has since lost her job at Fox, and now she's on a revenge tour. And she was a hairstylist for many years for Joy Taylor, for Skip Bayless, for even Colin Cowherd. She was one of the main like hair and makeup people at Fox for the talent. And now she is the one that has filed this lawsuit against Fox because there's a bunch of different things in here that she's upset about. And it goes beyond just the executive and Joy Taylor and Skip Bayless. But, of course, those are the headliners.
It's always, I think, a difficult proposition to prove something like this for damages when you stayed at the job for years and now you're fired. And you're like, oh, well, now I have a lawsuit. I mean, that this was totally unacceptable work environment, but I stayed there for months and years. And, you know, there can be extenuating circumstances or people feel like I can't leave this job, you know, for whatever reason. But I think that's a significant level of difficulty, you know, to get something going like that. But, you know, ultimately, we all win, I think, in the public. You're getting to consume these salacious details, and everybody there is losing. I mean, it's one L after another.
Oh, 100%. Messy. Dude, 100%. And she did. I mean, it explains.
Except for Ocho, whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah, Manuel Ocho.
Yeah, he ain't looking too bad.
He's just cleaning up
right now.
Well, there's so many
videos. He got his shoes off and everything, old girls. No socks. No socks. Patty cake.
Oh, yeah. It's like, dude, you've been over there several times. This isn't your first rodeo.
He did delete that video, though, where he's making the announcement that Joy Taylor is going to be on his speak show from some years ago that Hellman was on and everything.
Yeah. Was that in the car?
Yeah, he's sitting in his car.
He's like, kind of, yeah. There's weird stuff going on.
He's doing a lot of sniffing of the finger throughout his congratulations to Joy Taylor for earning such a respected...
it is a toxic Tuesday.
It is a crazy deal. Now, the hairdresser lady who's filing the lawsuit does have apparently receipts about how she's taken a lot of this stuff to HR and Fox never did anything about it. So throughout her time there. So I think like that's why Fox obviously just as a whole is the one who is who's going to be taking the brunt of this. But apparently Joy Taylor, she lives in Miami. She moves to Los Angeles while married to try and get going with Fox. She's doing some like fill in work, but she wants a more prominent role there. So she ends up hooking up with the executive who is the head of content.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. We got to continue to throw the allegedly word around. And she was married at the time. And so this hairstylist lady ends up being friends with her, and she's realizing like, oh my gosh, you're married and you're allegedly hooking up with the guy who is calling the shots for who gets what role on TV. And so then her marriage ends up falling apart because the husband allegedly finds out what took place. And then you have Joy Taylor getting engaged to another guy after that. And then he finds out about everything and he's ready to go public with it. Because he's like, I'm about to marry this girl. But he finds out that she's banging the executive had allegedly. So he's like, okay, well, I'm ready to go public with this. And the executive guy says, hey, listen, I will cover all the wedding fees and deposits that you had spent money on. I will go ahead and pay you that back so that you just remain silent. And so he obviously did. And then Joy Taylor gets the undisputed role. She's moderating for Skip and Shannon. She does that for a while.
She's moderating.
And then she ends up, you know, she wants to level up after that to get on the Emmanuel Acho show, the Speak show. And so she ends up allegedly hooking up with Emmanuel Acho so that he could be, somebody that would advocate for her to get that role. And the whole time, the hairdresser's in the know on all this stuff, and she's the one that's doing the lawsuit.
How
and
messy.
So, because they were friends, right? So you're like, we talking, we gossiping, yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Exactly. So now I think the most damning part for Joy Taylor here, and I don't know that it's provable, but once Joy Taylor apparently starts crossing streams with you're doing stuff with the executive guy, but now all of a sudden you're fooling around with Acho. The hairdresser lady's like, man, you're playing with fire here. If this executive guy finds out, then he's gonna be pissed. And so allegedly in the lawsuit, she says that after she was like, hey, you know, Joy, you need to be careful with this. Joy Taylor allegedly says like, hey, don't worry about it. She explained that she was also now powerful as well. She now has the cachet at Fox to where she's powerful enough to where it doesn't matter about this executive guy. If once he becomes no longer useful to her, she would follow through on her plan to tell the company that he forced himself on her. And she would not allow herself to be forced out by the executive like other women talent over the years. Mm. So this guy, obviously a super sleazeball executive who was making all sorts of harassment passes at the hairdresser lady over the years that she's documented, of course, all allegedly. But I think that's the part about Joy that is, again, I don't know how
that's
you
just salaciousness, that. Right? Yeah. That's just salaciousness to get us talking, to get the interwebs moving and everything, because that's not what her lawsuit is about. Her lawsuit is about like being treated bad and harassment, yes, and some racism from Joy.
Right, right.
Of course, the harassment from Skip. But yeah, she told us that right there. She's like, hey, to get this, you know, to get a, what is that called? A settlement from Fox faster.
Let me just throw this bomb in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
You don't want this in the headlines.
Right. This is what I got here.
What's also weird is because Joy Taylor and Taylor Rooks had that podcast together. And then I saw apparently a couple months ago, Taylor Rooks kind of stepped away from the podcast. And she said it was because of her busy schedule. But some are alluding to she kind of knew this was coming and wanted to remove herself from Joy Taylor.
Which is fair. Yes. I don't know when something like this is happening.
That
or
might
in
not
the
have
works.
Anything to do with each other.
Yeah.
Possible.
I don't know what type of heads up you get when you're about to have a lawsuit dropped on you. But I'm sure we were more surprised by it than all the folks involved here. And then when it comes to Skip, over the years, apparently Mr. Bayless continued to make advances on the hairdresser lady, lingering hugs, kisses on the cheek, and inappropriate comments. And inappropriate comments that he could, quote unquote, change her life if she acquiesced to having sex with him. She alleges that he offered her $1.5 million to sleep with him. Also says that at one point.
Just straight cash, not like a $1.5 million a year job, but like. A payment?
Straight cash, homie.
Wow. Straight cash. It ain't tricking if you got it.
Blessing that Cash App, baby. Yeah.
What you need?
Apparently, he made an advance at one point, and she said, Skip, stop, you have a wife. And allegedly, Mr. Baelish responded, aren't you Muslim? Doesn't your dad have 3 to 4 wives? Oh, geez. And then she responded, well, my dad's dead. And then he was taken aback and excused himself.
She went full Bobby Belt.
So she hit him with that one right there. Now Skip apparently was informed by the executive guy who was shagging up allegedly with Joy Taylor that this hairdresser lady the whole time was hooking up with Shannon Sharp, which is, according to the lawsuit, not true at all. So Skip over the years is like, man, you're hooking up with Shannon. What, you know, what's wrong with me? So he's got this jealousy factor going on.
No way.
So over the years, he's like making these passes at her. And then after, by year 7, he's now to the point where he's allegedly willing to offer $1.5 million to hook up with her. So it is as crazy a media bombshell as I could remember. And I'm sure, I mean, Skip Bayless does a podcast with his wife now. Old Ernestine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the conversations that he's having to have with her. And Stephen A. Smith's like, hey, I have no idea what's going on, but I'll tell you, Skip Bayless is one of the cheapest people I've ever met in my entire life. The idea that he would be willing to offer up almost $2 million for sex just seems insane.
I mean, that was $1.50, but it won $1.5 million.
Yeah, so this is nuts, and I'm sure there's just going to be more and more that comes from it, the finger pointing, all that kind of stuff. Yes, it was Earl Watson, by the way, that was then engaged to Joy Taylor before finding out about all this and then apparently saying, I got to get out of here. So we'll see. But Skip is probably just totally shaken in his jays right now.
Yeah. You know, that's one that I think, you know, all these powerful men in these situations, they can't run from. Once it goes public and the wife finds out, it's a whole nother level of embarrassment and egg on your face. And the next thing you know, you can be having to buy a yacht for him. You know?
Yeah. And Jason Whitlock used to work for Fox whenever Joy Taylor started working there. And this is the wild clip of him because he addressed it on his podcast. Oof. And this was the viral moment from his show yesterday.
I know what I'm capable of. And that big rack of hers that she showed off constantly.
What?
It's just, and that peanut butter skin.
Come on.
With that big rack.
That big rack.
Like, Jay, keep your distance.
First of all, that's cap. First of all, that's cap, bro. Ain't nobody messing with you, Jay. And you see that big greasy behind compared it to peanut butter? He can't help himself.
Well, that big rack, boy, I tell you what.
Big human smoothie looking ass.
I'm an old Romeo, you know, and those instincts kick in. Next thing you know.
Rachel Bonetta, one of the former hosts on FS1 with Whitlock, quote tweeted that and said, one time Jason crapped his pants during a commercial break and had to run to the bathroom, and that went viral.
I do believe that.
Long time known as one of the most desirable bachelors in all of sports entertainment.
Hysterical.
C-Notes coming up at 3:20. NFL news of the day next, Wolchuk. Where are you taking it?
The latest firing news. The NFL is flexing their muscle when it comes to ratings again. That's next.